We are back here on the game. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, and Mitch Fortner. I'm going to put this bit of breaking news out there and then not comment on it because I do not have the time nor the energy to get into this debate, but I do feel like it is pretty important, like, news in the sports world this afternoon. Don't you feel like this is?
I just don't think that guy's that good of a quarterback, but I know where you're going with it.
Austin Davis signed with the Seattle Seahawks. He is a quarterback. That in and of itself is not going to be very important.
Yeah,
to
that's not
people.
What I'm talking about. Yeah.
That's not the aspect of this that is news. They had been talking to Colin Kaepernick. In fact, it was – who was it that tweeted out prematurely that it had actually happened? Was it like
– Oh,
I feel like it was like Spike Lee or somebody. Somebody tweeted prematurely that he had signed there. He does not sign there. So they're passing on him in favor of Austin Davis. So I'm sure you're going to hear that talked about a whole bunch. Again, I have neither the time nor the energy to do that. It's going to take everything I have to just debate you on the Royals not being dead later on, because I don't understand how you can see the Danny Duffy-less Royals is still having a pulse here. But I suppose technically, judging by the standings, they kind of are. We are pleased right now to welcome in K-State Athletics Director Gene Taylor, who joins us here on the show. Always appreciate his time. I'm sure it's been a busy month plus on the job so far, but appreciate you joining us, Gene. How has everything gone since starting at the beginning of May and the process of just getting your feet under you here in Manhattan?
Well, it's great to be on, and it's gone fast. You know, I've been probably out of town as much as in town, but, you know, it's been a great opportunity to mix with, you know, getting to meet with our staff internally and made a couple of Cap-Acker events. Met with some donors and been at Big 12 meetings, so I've kind of been in and out of town. This is actually my first full weekend in town in a couple of weeks, so but it's been good. I've really enjoyed it.
Gene Taylor again talking with us here on the game. You know, we'll start here. This has obviously been the big story over the last about a week now. What all did go into the decision to finally give Corey Sutton his release after the saga that played out late last week?
Well, you know, I was in Dallas all week, and you know, obviously supported coach in the plan initially, that you know, he felt strongly that if you commit to K-State football and he commits to you, then you know, you need to be a part of this program. So, and then he landed, and then there was the comments that were talking a little bit about a drug testing policy, and you know, some folks weren't sure whether he was referencing Corey. I don't think he was, but at the end of the day, I think the parents felt that way, and so I called Coach in the morning on Friday, kind of walked through everything with him, and he said, "Yeah, Gene, you're probably right. Probably best we released him," and so we did, and that was really kind of in the nutshell. And then, you know, we just wanted to make sure Corey got a chance to, you know, go out and play wherever he needed to play and kind of move forward. So at the end of the day, it just changed a little bit than what we were thinking, and best for everybody to probably let him go on and have an opportunity to play somewhere else.
Gene, it was kind of an interesting story just in terms of how it came about and how it was reported upon with his Twitter posts, and then you know, a lot of the stories that came out originally from it were pretty one-sided just because there wasn't information coming out from K-State side. Did you have any issue with how things transpired in the media with this?
You know, not really. I mean, it's always a little unfortunate that these things always have a tendency to be one-sided. There's always, you know, two sides of the story. And, you know, just for a lot of reasons, Coach had it, he wasn't going to get specifically into Corey or whatever reason. But at the end of the day, he felt strongly he wanted Corey to still be part of the program. So, you know, I really don't have a problem with how it was reported necessarily. It's just, like I said, I think Coach's frustration was more about our internal policy about the drug testing program, which we're looking at, but that was kind of where his comments were based at, and those were things that I can understand, and just something we'll continue to look at.
Talking with Gene Taylor here, K-State Athletics Director on the game, you know, I know that a lot of the reason for Coach Snyder's sort of policy on this to not grant releases except for extenuating circumstances is, and I think it's a valid point, that you don't want to make it too easy, and then the first sign of any kind of trouble, any lack of playing time, guys are going to go ahead and go. Basically, a slippery slope type of argument. Is there any fear now that after Corey Sutton did take this to social media, that it sets some kind of a precedent that this may happen again? The potential transfer looks at it as, I can put some public pressure out there and then make the outcome what I want it to be?
Well, I think that's always a concern. I mean, obviously, you know, and that's generally speaking, nationally, the feeling is to come out publicly in support of the student athlete, and they don't necessarily understand the whole story. And again, not just with our situation with Corey, but that the national transfer issue is something that's being talked about both at the conference level, the NCAA level. It's how do we manage this? You know, we know men's basketball is completely out of control. And then the graduate transfer rule that was put in isn't being followed, and people are transferring for different reasons. I mean, they're graduate transfers, and they're never taking a class. Those are some things. And then just the general feeling is, well, coaches can leave and not be penalized. Why do student-athletes not get to leave? And so that's a discussion, and that's where the discussion starts with a lot of you more national media. But each situation is so different. And so I think if another kid transferred and we go to social media, there were a lot of people that were supporting Coach both privately and in some cases publicly in regards to what you just said. There is a concern. And so I think every situation is just so unique and so different. We just have to cross that bridge when we get there.
Yeah, and I don't want to read too much into it. I just saw a transcript of your comments on Friday before the Royals game, K-State Day at the K. They're talking with some reporters, but you had mentioned you thought there may be some national legislation on this type of issue moving forward. How far away do you think we are from that, assuming that I'm paraphrasing your comments there correctly?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair way to paraphrase it. It could be maybe see something in January. Again, it may be focused primarily on the graduate transfers because that's it. But generally speaking, what are some legislation that a kid could transfer, have some freedom, but yet still understand we can't have a true free agency? I mean, I think your basketball coaches are so fed up with it that they just let it go because they're like, okay, everybody transfers. We had 500 or something this year. So, you know, where football, that is less of an issue right now, but there have been some issues with the graduate football transfers. And so I think the next kind of issue that was maybe discussed nationally, you know, this past year it was time demands for a student athlete. I think transfers and graduate transfers will be this next national issue that will be legislated in some way, shape, or form.
Gene, another question on this same topic, you know, with you just getting here from Iowa. Did you ever have an incident like this at Iowa, or were there different policies in place with how it was handled there?
You know, it was similar. It was, you know, a coach's decision based on the circumstances. I don't remember in my 3 years at Iowa that we had, Jared Utah transferred into Iowa from Wisconsin. That got quite a bit of national attention, but that happened before I got there. You know, we did have kids that transferred in football and both basketball, but they were kind of a mutual agreement between the athlete and the coach, so there wasn't, something that became an issue. In North Dakota State, we never really had anything. We were, you know, mainly looking at transfers. We didn't deal with a lot of transfers at North Dakota State, quite frankly.
Gene Taylor talking with us here on the game, K-State Athletics Director. You mentioned being at the Big 12 meetings here back and forth. From someone that came from the Big Ten, such a stable, it seems like, to us on the outside conference, to the Big 12, where the reputation is, it's chaos, you know, the Big 12 is not stable at all. What's been just the vibe you've gotten from, you know, getting to know everybody there and see what kind of a sense of unity there is within the conference?
That's the thing that I've been most impressed with, because I, like you, sit, you know, in Iowa, I'm hearing all this about the demise of the Big 12, and I get in a room with ADs and this time presidents, and I mean, they're all in, and they understand collectively we're a stronger conference together as we are individually. And under Bob's leadership, Bob Boltzmann is very well respected, and by the presidents and the ADs and even the coaches. And I think he's respected because he has been at, you know, programs that have been successful, been a part of conferences. And so under his leadership, there is a, you know, you maybe see some articles recently where coaches have come out strongly in favor of the Big 12. The president of Oklahoma came out. So it's almost like with the national stories of the demise, everybody's kind of getting mad, going, you know, the heck with that. We are a strong conference, and we're going to be better together. And so it's almost like they're getting mad about the fact that people are. And then the 80s in the room, I will tell you, we had a couple of issues, nothing major, but they all, you know, after they said their piece, they're like, if this is the best for the Big 12, let's go with this. Whether it was Oklahoma or Texas or whoever, they felt if it's best for our conference, then let's make this decision. And to me, that's where we're headed with this league, and it's been pretty impressive to see.
One issue that I know got probably put on your plate in some ways quicker than you thought, based on just General Meyer's comments that your introductory press conference was Bruce Weber in a contract extension. Has there been any update on where things are at with that? Have you had a chance to discuss that?
No, actually, I haven't really even seen Bruce. I saw him at an event in Dallas, and we were both it was a social event, so I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I think he's back, and I'm back now, and so, you know, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, you know, I can sit down and figure out where we're headed, and want to hear his vision and just talk to him about the future. But I haven't had a chance to really do that yet. So.
One of the things that was positive, going back to the Big 12 meetings just for a second, Gene, one of the really positive things out of that was the new payout, $34.5 million a year per school, which does stand in a very positive light in terms of other Power 5 schools. Were you anticipating that kind of number, or were you surprised when you found out? Because I know that a lot of us, we were kind of surprised by how high that number was.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be fairly decent. I think that number was a little higher than what we anticipated, or at least I did, but again, brand new, wasn't sure. And I think that just goes again to the strength of the conference. And, you know, that number coming out made everybody go, whoa, okay, maybe they're not as messed up as everybody thought they were. But it's very helpful, and I think that's going to continue to be similar type numbers. And I think our Big 12 championship game in football will really continue to help that and grow that. So, again, we need to continue to position ourselves of strength, and we can do that by being together collectively. And hopefully our winner of our Big 12 championship puts us in a position to be back in the national championship game.
Again, talking with Gene Taylor, K-State AD here. Before I let you go, I know you threw out the first pitch at the Royals game on Friday. I can't let you go without getting an assessment on your performance. How'd you feel like you did throwing out the first pitch?
Well, I needed to aim a little higher. My son saw it, and he said, Dad, that really wasn't low and outside. I said, it was low and outside, and Willie made a great scoop, so it didn't look. But the good news is it wasn't YouTube-worthy of some other first pitch that have been out there in the country. So I guess that's a positive move, but next time I'll throw a little higher. Let's just put it that way.
I like that that being the bar. Just don't make the internet, don't make it on YouTube. That's the bar for throwing out a first pitch. That's great.
That's right.
Hey, appreciate the time, Gene, and joining us. Look forward to talking with you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, fellas. Appreciate it.
All right, there's Gene Taylor, K-State AD, with us here on the game. Really appreciate his time and candidness with the comments there. If you missed any of that at 5:10, just to reset the hour, we will play some of the highlights of that. We'll wrap up the first hour of the show when we come back.